Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Kim Barrett Show. I am your host, Kim Barrett, and today we are doing something very, very special. If you don't know, we've got over 200 episodes here on the Kim Barrett Show, from marketing, business tips, growth, sales, and much, much more. And what we wanted to do is compile the five top game-changing sales tips for you to help you and your business to help it grow beyond what you could expect as possible. So this is a very special occasion. We're doing a compilation for you, just for you guys to help you improve your sales. But before too long, let's not hold back. And of course, if you ever need help with your marketing to go with your sales, head to our free Facebook community, www.joinmygroup.com.au. But until then, let's jump into the show.
So I have my closers record looms of themselves when they're feeling really good, right? So when they're on a hot streak, I have them record looms, and like not just looms, but also like journals of exactly how they're feeling internally. And when they're having a slump, I have them listen to their call recordings from the slump, but then also listen to their call recordings from the hot streak, and also watch the looms and read the journal and try to regain some of that energy and build some of that momentum to get back into, at least equilibrium.
Nice. So, because it really is at that point, it's like a mindset thing, right? I
think. Of course. Because it's like, you'll have like a string of like bad leads that then like discourages you, and then you start performing badly, and then you start assuming that every lead is a bad lead and you don't even try your hardest, right? So how do we break that cycle? We got to get back into the psyche that we were at when we were on hot streak.
Sales is about one thing only. It's about change. It's about how good you are at helping your prospect view in their mind, not telling them, but helping them view in their mind that by them changing their situation, which means buying your product or service, is far less risky for them than them doing nothing at all, staying in the status quo. Their problems stay the same and nothing ever changes, which is more risky. Okay. So whether your prospect is, you know, wanting something better, or they're trying to get away from that pain that you're able to help them feel in their mind, it's all about change. Now, I want to make sure everybody understands. Here's your problem. Most people do not like change. Human beings, we don't like change. So selling is about change, but human beings don't like change, okay? Even though we say we do, okay? And why is that? Because it makes us feel uncomfortable, like, maybe unsettled, especially when it's initiated by some pushy salesperson who's ready to pitch their products or services that they have the best. So one thing we have to realize is that human behavior shows that we value something that is familiar, something is maybe consistent, even if we don't like it. Think battered wife syndrome. Why do they keep going back? It's familiar, even though we don't like it, over something that's new or unknown or foreign to us. So we have to understand, we are not selling the thing. We're selling the results of what that thing does. So Kim, like if you're, you know, with your company, if you're talking to a business owner and you're selling them, you know, marketing services, you're not selling them the marketing services, you're selling them the results of what that does, which is better leads. You're not really even selling the leads. You're selling them more revenue because those leads equal more revenue. So we're not selling the thing. We have to get out of, we're selling the product or service. You're selling the results of what that product or service does. So, you know, one good consequence question that anybody can ask that gets the prospect to really view the consequences of what will happen if they don't do anything. Now, you can't ask this question in the first 2 minutes because there's no trust yet. But let's say three-fourths through the conversation, after you've got them to see what their future is going to look like, once all these problems are solved, you've asked them some solution awareness questions, you then want to yank it away and ask a consequence question that gets them to defend themselves on why they have to change.
Over the last couple of years, I've managed to grow some businesses and do some things. And I would say, I think people probably have a misconception as to like what people see, like the sales skill is like the core reason for it. But it's definitely not, right? And the thing that I think that set my company apart and the reason why we're able to get to multiple eight figures is because there was a real consistency of two things. One was like content, like super consistent with content. And the second was like, we have a very clear core set of ethics within the business that we will not compromise for any reason. And that seeps down into the culture. Like, I have teachings of how to identify someone who should not be sold, right? Which doesn't really make any sense if you just want to sell everybody, right? But like, I've learned some styles in the past of selling where it's like, just fucking sell everyone. It's like, oh, it's great. And just like, if they don't buy, they're a fucking idiot and they're, you know, this and this and this. It's like, okay. Well, first of all, like, I've been broke, right? So I've been in a position where like, I would have done nearly anything to do so, but I'm not going to take food out of my kid's mouths. You know what I mean? That's just crazy towns. So I think having a level of empathy for someone's position allows you to then farm them long-term and then create a great relationship and get referrals and stuff like that. But I think like having a real key like ethical driver for your business as to how you want your business to be perceived on the outside and how you conduct yourself on the inside, I think that's really important to having a really great culture. And all the businesses that I've seen that really grow and take off, and they all have phenomenal cultures. Well, that stay anyway. There's some flashes in the pan that just kind of come in and out over the course of a couple of years. But I think, like, you know, that's a really key part.
What's probably the biggest mistake, apart from the trust-based components, what's the biggest mistake that you see most salespeople make when you come across them?
Usually, it's funny because I call it this hidden drug in our bodies, and it's triggered with inbound calls that look like there could be opportunities. You know what that's called? It's called hopium. You know the hopium drug? You get the inbound call like, oh my God, he wants to buy how many of these? Oh, guess what, guys? I got a deal pending. It looks good. On the board, the CRM system, tagged, high value client, pretend you're like, woohoo! It's the whole hopium thing. You get so excited about the opportunity, you lose grounding on the process. That's the really one thing we have to be aware of, is that you got to bring yourself down and stay calm and cool and collected like a doctor would, and don't make any assumptions until you've diagnosed the problem and they own the problem and they say to you, here's the magic phrase, and they say to you this, they say, how can you help me? You're not allowed or given permission to discuss your services until after they get to the point of them saying to you, how do you guys work? And that takes a new skill set to do that, because we're so conditioned to jump in and move things forward, because we are taught to believe it's about momentum. Momentum creates pressure. Pressure shuts people down. You don't want to create momentum, which is the opposite of what the sales gurus taught us to do. We're supposed to be enthusiastic, passionate about what we do. We love what we do. Yeah, guys, go out there and make those calls this morning. Yeah, you call someone like that, they don't know who you are. They're thinking, oh, not another one of these calls. This is a behavior shift, absolutely, because it requires detoxing and being aware of your own behavior, how you're being perceived to your prospects, and how much you're losing that you're making. Because people are burning leads all day long and aren't even aware of it because of their approach.
I do want to ask you one question. So someone's listening to this and they're going, cool, like how do you actually know? Because I think sometimes people know, sometimes they don't, but how do you know if you have a sales problem? Like what are the identifiers? When you go into companies, what are the things that you straight away see and you're like, ah, oh, this means we're going to have to improve upon that? Like what are the warning signs or the indicators to you that you see, obviously working with tons of people around the world?
Well, there's so many different things. I just assume it's always broken. But we of course want to listen to calls and the scripting, but the mindset, the company culture, the organization, the X factor, the description of what they have, generally, and a lot of what I teach is really around the language and the mindset behind it. And then there's accountability. So it's like any kind of coaching, there's the first part of any coaching always deals with clarity. Like everybody on the same page, here's what we do, like absolute clarity. It's a big part of what all coaching is. And then there's a portion that's strategy, sales strategy, communication strategy, the strategy for follow-up. Is it a 5-call system or a 2-call or a 1-call close? Is there a triage call? Is it a qualification call? Is there a follow-up system? Is there measurement in the CRM? So really it's making sure that the marketing, everything is working together. The marketing, the sales process, the delivery process. Tony teaches something in Business Mastery called the value chain. And so from somebody not knowing who you are, seeing an ad, getting to know, like, and trust you, seeing your X factor, what makes you different in the market, having that unique perspective, that unique selling proposition, whatever you want to call it, USB, having that uniqueness properly marketed and articulated and making enough connections with people, measurement, follow-up, training, having the sales process. And I heard this really good analogy one time, said golf, the relationship between your golf, your sales and marketing is like golf. Marketing is like teeing off and the sales like putting it in. Mm. If you have really bad marketing, you know, or it's a startup company, not millions to spend on marketing because people buy from people they know, like, and trust. And so if you've got millions of dollars, you're Oprah Winfrey or Tony Robbins or Apple, you can do that. And the marketing's really good. If Tony called you right now or Oprah and said, hey, I got something to sell you, you know, you're like, oh my God, it's Tony. And you talk to him. So that's teeing it off really good. And then he'd just be able to put in the sale. But if you're not, if you don't have a bajillion dollars to spend on marketing a day, then you have to do a longer form cut. And that requires people to make contact themselves. It's like you're doing sales and marketing yourself. And depending on where the organization is, if it's inbound, if it's outbound, if it's prospecting, it's processes. Mm-hmm. And so there's tons of strategy that really gets the process dialed in, follow-up systems, all of that. And then you've got to have great delivery. You know, then there's, of course, accounting and all these different things. But the sales has got to be there, and everything's got to work together. Mm-hmm. The culture. I tell people all the time, and you know, my background's with Tony, so we believe that success in anything is 20% the mechanics. And you can do language patterns all day and, you know, and all this stuff, but it's 80% mindset, psychology, and, you know, hunger and drive. So when that's an organization, that's the culture, it shifts things. And so that's usually one of the biggest things. And then looking at the language, and, you know, I always ask this at the event, and you'll hear me say this. I ask, do people do things for logical reasons or emotional reasons? Mm. People say emotion. So what creates emotion? And we want people to have this pressure and this desire to do something. So there's got to be a clear place they want to go to and from. Mm. And we've got to create some pressure on them in the moment.